is the Tom Likas Show.
It's not just a water sport. I knew it.
Now, from the New Normal Studios in Burbank.
That's us, dude.
Thank you for tuning into the Tom Likas Show. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank, this is where you hear us live. Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 24-7. LoamyUpTom.com. You can hear our show on our brand new free app. Get it at Google Play, get it at the App Store, or get it at TomEverywhere.com. That's TomEverywhere.com. Thank you for tuning in. Thanks for being part of the program. We appreciate it. Here we are together again with a bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. And as we are every Tuesday, we are joined in this case by family law attorney Adam Sachs.
Tom.
Adam, good to see you.
Great to see you too.
What's going on? Thanks for the nice review, by the way, on the Google Play.
Yes, I couldn't resist.
Reviews there. I appreciate that.
Well, it's coming from the heart. And I put it in the Apple one as well.
Really?
Yes, yes.
Do you have an iPad and a...
Indeed, I do.
Really?
So I put an Apple review for the iPhone version. But I saw a couple of mean reviews there, Tom. I don't know where people are coming up with this stuff.
Mm, some people just want to be dicks. Dicks, douches, you name it.
One was Tom sucks, Adam sucks. That hurt.
Actually, that was pretty funny.
Very constructive.
Yes.
You know that thing they do on Kimmel where the celebrities read the mean tweets, you know?
Yes.
That was me reading my own mean tweet, I guess. So,
right.
You know, Tom, we had some stuff where I was, you know, talking about how the cops don't treat you fair and whatnot. And we were saying we were always big supporters of the cops. I have to tell you, this week, a guy called me. And he was just talking, and I almost assumed, you know, that, you know, from his background and what was going on, I figured he was a listener of the show. And it turns out he wasn't. That apparently his wife called the police on him. They were in some kind of domestic fight. The cops broke it up and talked to him, and they the cop gave him my number.
Really?
I don't know if they're allowed to
pay
do that.
Pays to advertise.
I guess. The cop said, man, you need a lawyer. Here's a good one.
Oh, my.
So I thought that was the best compliment ever. I don't know where that
came
from.
Sure, absolutely.
I don't think I'm going to find out who he was. I don't know if he's allowed to do that. But, officer, if you're out there, thank you. I appreciate that. It was very kind. So what I've been working on, and I want to talk about tonight, Tom, is, you know, we have a world today of single mothers, Tom. Seriously.
Oh, I know.
Now, I know you tell the boys to avoid single mothers.
I do.
And I couldn't agree more. And I'm going to have someone on in a couple of minutes. I don't know. Do we have them on hold?
Yes, we do.
All right. Give him a minute. But I have someone who's going to tell some of his stories that are going to blow your mind, Tom.
All right.
But, you know, there is some kind of a natural thing that women are inclined to do. Which, you talk about this, Tom, how women are nesters, you know?
Yeah.
And there is this, you know, it goes beyond consciousness. It's really biology. And, you know, you and I, Tom, have talked about avoiding American women and some of our good experiences with foreign-born women or when I've traveled abroad and whatnot. But there are certain things that women are just inclined towards. And it doesn't seem to matter where they're from. This sort of transcends that. And, you know, women are trying to nest. They're trying to form families. That's why they're pressing men for commitments. And that's the thing you were saying last hour where you're going on a date and the woman's saying, you know, what am I to you? You know, am I your girlfriend? What's going on? Is this going anywhere and all that? And you as the man are saying, you know, I thought we're doing great. We're having a good time. Where is it supposed to go?
Why ruin a good thing? We got a good thing going.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that I've seen, which is fascinating, and a lot of guys kind of fall into this, and a woman will really lock it in. A guy will get involved with a single mother and, let's say, get serious with her and, you know, like the kid or whatever, maybe marry her. And then the woman wants to do two things. First of all, she'll want to have another kid with the guy. That's called the glue child. That sort of glues the family together because the new child is related to everybody then. And the other thing that a woman's going to want, formally a lot of times, not only for the guy to be committed to the child and to be taking care of the child, and you should know that if you act as a parent towards a child for a certain number of years, you know, you become responsible legally for that child. But a lot of women won't even be satisfied with that. They want the guy to actually adopt that child. And assuming that the natural father is a deadbeat or he's disappeared or typically he's in prison, that sort of thing, because women have such great taste in guys that they have children with, there's a lot of pressure on the guy. And a lot of guys figure, well, I love the woman. Everything's working out great. I'm with the child. I might as well adopt it. And then we have my new child, which is with her. And we're going to be this happy family. And, you know, we have some culture stuff. You were mentioning Disney, and Disney has a lot of these things. But the one show that I'm reminded of, and this may be a little dated for the current millennial generation, but do you remember the Brady Bunch, Tom?
Unfortunately, I do.
Now, I mean, I grew up in a different place, but now that I live in Los Angeles, you see that that's Los Angeles, you know?
Yes.
The house and where they lived, that was the San Fernando Valley, obviously. But, you know, that was the show where you had a man who had three sons and a woman who had three daughters, and they formed what they call a blended family, right? And then they have all these little mishaps and all these little confusions and whatnot. But, you know, this was sort of this this kind of happy show about how they all kind of came together and were happy and, you know, had a good life together and all. And the truth is that it's never like that. And, no. And I want to use the word never. It's important. You know, there's this thing that you were saying, which is it's actually a phrase, which is Nawalt, which is not all women are like that. And people want to say, you know, okay, well, people are different and, you know, okay, so maybe half of marriages end up in divorce, but that doesn't mean I'm going to get divorced because I'll be in the half that doesn't or whatever. But it's very difficult to say the truth sometimes. And the truth is that blended families are always a disaster. I mean, always. The things that happen are just absolutely unpredictable and crazy. And in fact, this is even the subject of some movies that I've seen. There was a movie called Happy Endings. And in that movie, the stepsister and the stepbrother end up having sex and have a baby. And I mean, it's just crazy stuff. I mean, the combinations and possibilities. Many times, the stepdaughters are 15, 16, walking around in their panties, and, you know, stepdad has sex with one of them or whatever. They have all kinds of crazy abuse kind of situations and all kinds of nutty stuff where the men become responsible, as I've said, particularly if you adopt a child. I had some horrible cases where really, really disastrous things happened, and the guys wanted to, like, break it off and unadopt the child or whatever. And, you know, you can't undo certain things. So, you know, you think that this is going to work out and that you've seen it on television or perhaps in film, but, you know, life does not necessarily match art. And very often the reason that you see it in a Disney movie is because it's fantasy and it's not really going to work out. And with that in mind, let's get our caller on.
All right. Jerry. Jerry is calling us from Oregon. Jerry.
Hey, Jerry. Where's Jerry?
Let me press the button again here. Jerry, can you hear us?
Are we here? Adam and Tom?
There we go. Hey, Jerry.
There we are.
It's very nice to hear from you, Jerry. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
Now, I was talking about adoption, Jerry, and I want to tell the audience that you're someone that I'm consulting with. You're not my client yet. I have some things I'm going to do with you in the future, but you have a story that I think is absolutely compelling, to say the least. And you actually had lightning strike you twice, as I recall. But somehow, the happy ending is you got out of it relatively unscathed. But I think it's really worth repeating, and I really want you to share it with the boys. So, bombs away.
Okay. Well, we'll focus on marriage number two, because that was a single mother. My first wife had abortions, et cetera, prior to our marriage. That's not germane to this topic, but...
Before you start on number two, okay. I want to tell the boys, I think one of the biggest red flags, and Tom and I always talk about red flags, One of the big red flags, and this is something you don't hear in popular life and literature, and something your mother doesn't tell you, but you mentioned this about your first wife. I think if you talk to a woman and she tells you, you know, that she's had an abortion or two, I think that's like how many sex partners a woman has had. When she tells you she's been with five guys, you can add a zero. It's more like 50. And if any woman tells you she's had an abortion, she's had several abortions. And I think that that's a big warning, wouldn't you say?
Indeed.
So that was wife number one, right?
That was wife number one.
Tell us about number two.
Wife number two, that was very difficult for me because this was after my first marriage. I'd had my heart broken. I was out scamming and whatnot, but because I'd been raised, my father was an Assemblies of God preacher, so I was a pastor's kid. Religion is way behind me. I have nothing to do with it now. But you have that ingrained mentality that you have failed at something. Not that your marriage didn't work, but you have failed. So even though I knew it wasn't my fault, somewhere in my programming, I believed that I had failed in my first marriage, and I somehow had almost this debt that I had to repay to my friends and family to prove that I could succeed at marriage. And all my dating and scamming and fucking around, I was basically looking for a second wife. And I found one. I found one that was like a fashion model. She looked like a living Barbie doll. Every guy wanted her, but she had a young 2-year-old daughter. And this was not by a loser. It was actually by a rich man from out of state who she just let completely go because he wanted nothing to do with her. And I ended up kind of acclimating to her. She accepted me as daddy. And next thing I knew, she had moved in with her daughter, and we were getting married. And, you know, she did everything right to woo me over. We had sex in every location, every place. She would give me blowjobs while I was driving. But the day after we got married...
All right, hold, listen to this, Tom. The day after...
I mean, absolutely nothing. Months, literally months went by and with no sex.
So that's the...
And I was,
One second. Now that's the sell job of sell jobs, right?
Oh, my God. And she actually gave me an ultimatum, and I was weak enough to submit to it because I was dumb as a stump back then.
What was the ultimatum?
It was like 1990.
What was it?
She said, look, I know you said you don't want to have another kid, but I have to have another child, and you can only have sex with me if you have it without protection and come inside.
How do you like
and
that?
I was so desperately horny that I did that, and the only thing that saved me was the fact that I had testicular cancer, et cetera, and I was virtually, there were basically no fish in the pond, and that's probably the only thing that saved me.
So it's just happenstance.
Just happenstance.
Now, Tom talked about some of what you said. I don't think it was from a religious point of view, but Tom has often told us the story that he thought that, you know, being married was normal and that he had failed by getting divorced. So you're talking about a little bit of that, right?
Oh, yeah. You get brainwashed into believing that marriage is somehow the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, that having sex isn't what's fun. It's putting that band on and forming a corporate bond with a female. Somehow that is your big prize in life, and men believe that.
Unreal. And then meanwhile, you're bonding with her little girl, right?
Mm-hmm.
She's cut off the father, who wasn't actually a deadbeat, but she wants the focus to be on you now because, like I've said,
right,
women are nesting. So she's reconstituting a family. Plus, she's telling you no sex unless it's for procreation. So she wants to have another child with you, and that's the glue child. Well, this is exactly what we're talking about.
Exactly. And in the meantime, she coerced me into buying her a purebred Arabian show horse, which
what?
I did. It was very expensive.
What?
And on
That's
top of
best.
That, I paid for to have it bred with a stud fee to have it bred with this incredible stud, and she sold the foal and made a ton of money. And then every night, get this, every weeknight when she'd get home from work, she would leave me with her daughter, who I was raising, and then go off to be with that horse. But that wasn't all. She would take a shower, put on some really tight Wranglers, fancy blouse, low cut, do her hair, put on her makeup, and put on all her perfume to go to the stable to see the horse while I was raising her daughter. I hope that horse appreciated all of that.
I think it was one of the horse masters over at the stable. I don't
indeed,
think it was the
indeed.
Horse that needed her perfumed and looking sharp.
I was in complete denial, and I just wanted to make something work, because I believe that if you fail at marriage, you're a failure, because that's how I was raised. Yes, you know, 20-some years later, I'm completely the exact opposite now, but I only learn from making every frickin' mistake in the book.
Now, tell me about her appreciation. You're helping her raise her 2-year-old, right, for many years.
I am.
That counts for a lot, huh?
It does, and then I guess I could mention the furniture bit. I just bought brand new furniture for my home when I met her. She didn't like it. Her sister, her older sister, was getting in a relationship, and they moved into an apartment. She says, you know, my sister could use this furniture. And I was still making payments on it, and her sister was going to make me $50 a month payment. She paid me $50 down, took all my furniture, furnishings, lamps, and everything, and I never saw another dime. And then my second wife and I went out and bought all new furnishings, much nicer than what I had, also on credit. And that was what she ended up taking when I was away on a business trip in Texas, and I came home to just an echo in the house.
So he goes on a business trip, comes back, Tom. And the furniture and she and everything is gone. And now he's making payments on 2 sets of furniture.
Oh.
The sister who stiffed him and the ex-wife.
Unbelievable.
So indeed. How many years old was the girl at that point, the little girl?
I raised her from between the ages of 2 and 6.
And
those were some very formative years.
Right.
And she really bonded with me as daddy. I read her stories every night. I was just the perfect father. Even though that's something I never aspired to be, it was something that under duress I found that I could actually do.
See, it really burns me because, you know, as a man, you know, you have a heart. You start to love this child, even though it's not yours, which is hard to even understand. You spend years and years with her, and then mother decides, you know, goodbye, and then you never see her again, right? Poof.
Right.
You come back from your business trip, and she and the mother are gone.
Everything.
Unbelievable. That's how she mm-hmm. thanks you for all the good things you've done for her.
Yes, and then maybe we should talk about what happened just a few years ago.
All right,
ago,
so this is Tom.
She decided to get back in
this
touch
is
with
the
me.
Crowning crown of crowns now. So something, what, 15 years later, 20 years later?
Yes, because I've had, believe it or not, I've had the same home phone number for over 30 years and the same cell number for almost 30 years. She managed to get in touch with me again. And lo and behold, the daughter had just turned 21, and they were meeting at a nightclub in downtown Portland, and she wanted me to come out and join them. And I was so curious to see how this daughter that I had raised, how she turned out. And I was in for a bit of a surprise. The first thing I learned is that my second wife had immediately gotten remarried immediately after she left me and had another kid. Then she divorced that guy and got married again and had another kid with that guy. So she had 3 kids with 3 different men.
Classic.
And I somehow managed to skate away from that. But the 21-year-old daughter looked great. She ran up to me and just said, give me a big hug. Hi, Daddy, I've missed you. And I mean,
that
made me tear up because she really bonded with me.
Right.
But then she immediately asked me to buy her and her mother a drink. And her mother was hit on by another guy at the time.
Oh, God.
And I did to appease the daughter.
Oh, that's easy. But she already...
Get this,
was 20, yeah. Right?
She had just turned 21, so this was at an actual bar, a nightclub.
And she already had a kid, right?
Correct, and she was now recently impregnated with another kid, but it was by a different man,
of
and
course.
This is the daughter.
Of course.
So you were a grandparent and didn't even know it.
Thanks, Tom. I'm only 52.
Understood. By the way, did you say they got back into the country? What country were they from?
I know. My God. Talk about the mother-daughter thing repeating itself. That was just downright scary. And then I was out with my buddy, and he casually asked the daughter, so how are you doing with the father of the child? And she just brazenly looked at my buddy right next to me and said, I hate that son of a bitch, and
there
I'm going to take him for everything he's got.
Mother like daughter.
The daughter learned, huh?
And I skated away from this only losing 2 sets of furniture and keeping the house. And I don't know
off,
how that
you got
happened.
Off real easy, to tell you the truth.
Man,
wait a minute, though. Now, Adam, let me ask you a question.
Can you believe all that, Tom?
Can you go back retroactively and say, now I want... 15 years of child support. Can you do that?
I think she may have missed that window at this point.
Really? What is the window?
Normally speaking, there's no retroactivity.
Really?
She hasn't filed for anything, yeah. But, I mean, that is, like, so
unbelievable. Because I've heard horror stories from, and I don't know what states they're from, and I don't know what the law is there.
No.
But I've heard horror stories of people coming up and saying, you know, you have a 17-year-old daughter. And, by the way,
you owe me the bill.
17 years of bad child support.
What a nightmare. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Do you want me not to sleep tonight?
But, Jerry, so when we talk about the whole range of this experience that you've described, you know, and it's an unbelievable story, obviously, and running into them again recently, that's so over the top. What do you say to a guy, a younger guy now, who's, you know, like you said, she was hot as a pistol, right? She's dating this Barbie doll who has a two-year-old or whatever. What do you think of that? What's your advice?
Stay the fuck away from them.
Yep.
The fucking you're getting is not worth the fucking you're getting.
You're going to get.
That's right.
Or you're going to get, yeah. No, it's not worth it on any level. And yes, I know this is the case of man bites dog. But
it's not.
What,
it's
I
much,
would
it's
never
not.
In a million years
It's
do
much
it again.
More common
never,
than
never,
you
never,
think.
Never.
Honestly, no. I mean, it's not so unusual now. You know, when you talk about the large amount of divorces, or it's like either half or two-thirds or whatever, you know, when you look at a woman now today in her 40s, she's very likely to be single, and she's likely to be a single mother. Plus, we have, as Tom's noted, you know, less marriages than ever before, people getting married later or never. I mean, this is just the cycle of what's going on. And so there's many a woman out there who's got a couple of kids or one kid, a few years old, and she's looking for her next sucker. And as you see with this one that you were married to, in a way, it's like Tom says, the dating or whatever, which nobody even dates anymore, but it's like auditioning for the part of husband, and she had you for a couple of years, and she got tired of you, and so she just got somebody else. Then she divorced him, and she got another somebody else. In other words, who it is doesn't necessarily matter all that much.
Absolutely not. These type of women are what I call serially married.
Yeah.
They just go from one to the next, and they're born to breed.
Yeah.
And that's just their nature, and that's what they do.
That was something that was Gone with the Wind. Rhett Butler says to her, you know, I never know, Scarlett, when I'm going to find you between husbands. You know, I mean, essentially, you just happen to meet this woman when she's between husbands, and, you know, it's sort of like tag, you're it. You know, they talk about how selective they are, and they want a man who's a professional, or he has to be very successful, or he has to be not intimidated by a modern woman or whatever. But on the other level, when you see what goes on, you see how they marry again and again and again, and it doesn't necessarily mean anything to them. And here you are, moving her in, taking care of her child, really rescuing her life. And how does she show her appreciation? By stealing all your furniture and disappearing while you're away on a business trip. I mean, you don't even know what you did. I had a lot of guys that tell me they don't even know what happened. It's not like they got in a big fight. It's not like anything dramatic happened. They come home from a trip, and then the locks are changed, or the woman's moved out, or whatever. Whatever bond they felt towards a child, that don't mean shit. All of a sudden, they never see the child again. It's unreal.
Yep. I'll tell you what, I would never, ever, I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy, and I am just so fortunate to have gone through two marriages and made all the mistakes I've made, and here I am at the age of 52. I'm single, I have my own home, and no female has really fucked me over, but I have just barely skated away with it, and I have no idea how I've done it.
So would you ever think of getting married again?
Absolutely not. What do you gain from forming a corporation with a female? Nothing. They gain everything.
Well, what about all this great sex you got, though? You said she was gorgeous, right?
She was. Great sex is what they use as a tool to get you to marry them. So move, you know, if you have to date a single mother, wear a condom, get a vasectomy, fuck the shit out of them because they want you, because they're trying to get you to marry them. Give them all of that, but understand that the minute you get married, sex is over. It's done. D-U-N-D.
And that was over the day you married her?
The day after. No, oh, we did everything on our wedding night, and I was just going, this is great.
Yeah.
The day after our marriage, whap, that door was shut, locked tight, done.
Amazing. So it's everything you ever said and more,
Tom. But the question becomes, why, when the door was shut tight, why did you continue? Why didn't you say, all right, I'm cutting you off at the knees?
Well, get this. This was because back then I still considered myself to be a Christian. I told you I've learned a lot in the last 25 years.
Oh, an awful
my
lot.
My father was an Assemblies of God minister, pastor, and you want to impress the family with what you can achieve. But get this. I told my father after it was all done, I said, do you realize that Lynette cut me off completely from sex? And he looked at me and he said, son, any woman that would do that to me, she would be kicked to the curb right now.
Right on, Dad.
Yes. He was to appease my Christian father.
What? I like your Christian father.
He was really cool. He passed away back in 08, but man,
sorry,
he understood things.
No, but even his Christian advice there, son, I wouldn't tolerate that for a minute.
Not for a minute. And here I was doing this to impress them. So, you know, sometimes you do things for your family, and that was basically my whole reason in getting married. Even as a kid, I would tell my parents, I'd say, I'm never going to have a baby. If you get married, does that mean that a baby just automatically comes? I didn't understand anything, but I knew that's what I did not want to be, was a parent.
Right. It's interesting how you adapted that and were able to, essentially accept another man's child. But you see that as sweet as she was, look what she turned into, ultimately, a copy of her mother.
Well, I'll tell you what. It was me looking past everything and just being egotistical. I love taking my second wife out and showing her off because she was so hot that every guy wanted her. She just had that look. She had that Playboy centerfold look. Every guy wanted her. And it catered to my ego to just showpiece my wife. Even when she wasn't fucking me, she would get all dolled up. And I'd go, goddamn, every guy that sees her wants her, and this makes me feel good. And that was the whole reason for marrying her, was just ego.
Well, you know, if she hadn't married those other guys, and you had bonded with that child for several years, Tom's talking about retroactivity, but going forward, at the time, she could have claimed child support against you. And it could have worked out. What?
I'm so aware of that, and I'm so glad that never happened.
No, you just accidentally skated. You know, what the courts say is that you formed a de facto parent relationship, especially after like 2 years or so, and now you're the father, and therefore, you got to pay.
Unbelievable.
So after she moves out, you start getting the bills.
Painful. Jerry, thank you for telling us that great story. We really appreciate it. Wow.
Can you believe that, Tom?
Hardly, but then again, absolutely, because I hear this stuff all the time.
I just want the boys to hear where it can go.
And that's where it goes.
You're not thinking that when you're out with Barbie and, you know, you're putting your hand in her panties, you know?
That's why you don't want to form these attachments.
Especially not with single moms.
No. No, no, no. All right, we'll take a break here. Adam Sachs is here, family law attorney Adam Sachs is in studio. And he is here to answer your legal questions. You may have questions about divorce, about separation, about child custody, child support, vaginamony. You may have questions about prenuptial agreements, postnuptial agreements. Maybe it's a restraining order. Whatever it is, Adam will answer your question now if you call this number now. It's free legal advice for you just by calling 901-3000-TOM. 901-3000-TOM. That's our telephone number. It's 901-3000-866.
Coast to coast, around the world, and across the universe. This is the Tom Likas Show.
We want to thank Devin Bronson and the boys at Black Box for pitching in and helping to sponsor our third anniversary party. And to celebrate the occasion, they're offering 20% off for Tom Likas Show listeners only. Just go to bnaudio.com. That's bnaudio.com and enter promo code TOM to get your 20% off the Black Box. Built to play loud and take a beating, this simple-to-use, high-power, plug-and-play speaker can be used anywhere, like your house, your apartment, your garage, your backyard. It even works in cars and trucks with the included 12-volt car charger. The Black Box easily connects to anything with a headphone or RCA output, like your TV, your smartphone, iPod, computer, gaming console, and more. They even include the connection cables. The Black Box. It's handcrafted from real wood, and it puts those mass-produced plastic speakers to shame. Plus, it costs over $100 less. Take advantage of their Tom Likas Show third anniversary special by going to bnaudio.com and enter promo code TOM to get your 20% off the black box. Then, go ahead, crank it.
Hey, bitches, this is Manju. If you missed the Getty and Dino show, show 600, you missed this.
Satisfy me, don't deny me one more time.
Congratulations!
Thank you!
The king of cream.
Yeah. There he is.
King of cream.
Are you going to turn her over and eat her? Yeah, baby.
Congratulations, say yes!
The Getty and Dino show, to GettyandDino.com.
All right, boys, let's talk insurance. Coslow Insurance. C-O-S-T-L-O. Now, you've probably heard Jeremy Rubin on our show. Jeremy's family has owned and operated Coslow since 1965, and they're all about getting you the right protection at the right price. Now, you know I got my Tesla Model S insured with Coslow. Well, you know I was so happy with their service. Now I've added two more of my cars and my home in the Hollywood Hills, and it's not just me. Plenty of listeners have called to tell us how thrilled they are that they've made the switch. Look, there's a reason Coslow has been in business for almost 50 years. Give them a call for a free, no-obligation quote. The number, 818-707-7711. Or visit CoslowInsurance.com and see how much you can save. Property, auto, commercial, health, or life insurance. It's 818-707-7711. Or visit CoslowInsurance.com today. Coslow. C-O-S-T-L-O.
Hammer time.
The Tom Likas Show. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank, this is a bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. And your opportunity to get some free legal advice with family law attorney Adam Sachs. All you need to do is dial his number, 901-3000-TOM. 901-3000-TOM. That's our telephone number. 901-3000-866. You know, I've seen a couple of stories about this recently, and I don't know what the deal is. You know, I don't know if we've talked about this, but Argentina has different child support laws than we do.
Really?
Yes. I knew somebody who had a brother in Argentina, and the brother was married, and they had kids. So the brother was kind of a slacker. The wife of the brother was a flight attendant and really hot. They got married and had kids. Well, during the time these two were married, what happened was that the wife was getting tired of the husband sitting there and smoking four packs of cigarettes a day and going out to play soccer while she was a flight attendant and going out and earning all the money. Mm. And at some point, the marriage finally ended. And when the marriage ended, they split. The kids went to live with the mother. And so here's this guy, the brother of my friend, living in his one-bedroom apartment and continuing to smoke four packs of cigarettes a day and go out playing soccer.
That's a lot of cigarettes, Tom.
Yes, it is. Well, here's what happened one day. Obviously, one day the mother of the kids demands child support. And this guy is a slacker. So you can demand it, but you can't get blood from a stone. And so somehow he continues to evade authorities, evade paying or whatever. One day at age 50, with kids now like early teenagers or whatever, dad dies.
Oh.
So
all those damn cigarettes.
Right. And so you're thinking to yourself, well, you know, as in the United States, if dad dies, that's the end of the child support obligation. But not in Argentina. Because what happens is, once dad dies, they start going after the siblings.
Oh, no.
Which they can do.
Oh, my God.
And the grandparents.
Oh, my God.
So now imagine, there you are. You are retired and living on, like, retirement income.
And your deadbeat son.
Suddenly the government has attached your bank account to pay the child support your son owes.
Oh, my God. You got to be kidding me.
That's how they do it there. Now,
another
thing.
A little bit different, huh?
Yeah, that is a little bit different from what we do. Now, another thing that happens that I've read about is when you've got a kid who is like sexually precocious, age 13 or whatever. So your 13-year-old son goes out and knocks up a 16-year-old, and then the parents are going, "Hey, you better pay child support. Support your kid. We're not having an abortion. You support the kid." And now, is that kid responsible for paying? And if he can't,
oh my God,
he's in high school, who does pay?
Well, you remember the cases with the teachers, the women teachers that were having sex with these 13 and 14-year-old boys
and going
after them for child support.
Who, by law, were raped.
Yes, but they were going after them for child support ultimately and getting it. So even rapists have sought, for example, visitation and custody, I mean, for God's sake.
By the way, that's a law they're trying to make now in Washington where a woman can cut off a rapist's parental rights. And they can't get it passed. In Washington, they cannot get it passed.
Well, that's the kid's father, Tom. It's crazy. What are you going to do? It's twisted. Human behavior is unbelievable.
Yeah.
What I thought was special in Argentina was when you could kill your wife. If she was cheating on you or whatever, and it wasn't a big deal.
Yes. And did they change that law?
I don't think so. I thought that was pretty basic in some of those South American legal
systems. We have
listeners
in Argentina. Maybe somebody will tell us. But, what happens? Like, all right, so there
you were there, right? I was there also,
yeah,
Argentina.
I was in Argentina, yeah.
Things are a little different.
They are different in many ways. But what happens if your 13-year-old son knocks up some other minor, and the parents say, "Nope, no abortion.
Yeah,
we're having the kid, and you better support your kid. You better step up to the plate. You better be a man."
Did you ever notice how religious everyone gets once the pregnancy happens?
Oh, yes. Boning is perfectly okay.
Fornication they can handle. What's done is done.
Right.
Now, all of a sudden, there's no abortions available.
Right.
Well, one of the classic things, and there are some limits to this, but, you know, like leaving sex for a second, you know, Junior, your son, trashes the school or he does some other acts of vandalism or whatever, there are laws on the books that make the parents responsible. And it's up to certain thousands of dollars or whatever. And, I mean, you can actually get sued because your son, you know, did some crazy shit or whatever. When you talk about the sexual stuff, generally that's not attributable, like you just described, to the family, but to the person themselves. Well, just because you're 13 or you're 14-year-old doesn't have any income, that's not always going to be the case. So it's just like this retroactive thing we're talking about. It's not retroactive. They seek it when he's 13 or 14, and if he can't pay it for a few years, once he starts making income when he's older, they'll start taking his wages or whatever. You'd be amazed how many people I talk to that are subject to all kinds of garnishments, and it's like the craziest thing. They had a kid when they were 16, 17... I mean, when you talk about tying an albatross around your neck and really putting yourself into a stupid position where success is going to be so difficult for you. I have a case now that I worked on for a while, very tough, where this guy got involved with this woman, had a baby with her at a young age, and, you know, he's paying her child support. She's sucking him dry. And he was, like, you know, really intelligent. He was, like, 17, 18 years old. So he has a child, what can you do? And he's going to engineering school, and he's getting his master's degree, and he decides he wants to go to law school. So that's cool, right? So he starts going to law school, and this greedy bitch is, like, squeezing him for every dime. And ultimately, his income went down very dramatically because he went to school. And so we went to court and said to the judge, look, you know, you got to give him a lower child support for a couple of years while he's in school. But when he finishes, you know, 3 years or whatever of law school, he's going to be able to make a lot more money. It'll be a lot better off for the child and everything else. Well, they didn't want to hear it, Tom. The attitude was he's capable of making X number of dollars. He has to keep doing that. So you're talking about struggling, and I remember struggling as a student, you know, to get through undergrad and law school and everything. Can you imagine on top of that, having all these financial responsibilities? It's terrible.
Right.
I mean, you really want to handicap yourself in that way. And, you know, it's really unfair for young guys because young guys don't have a lot of control over this. You know, we were told everyone's going to use condoms because of, you know, HIV and diseases. And I don't know that that's really true. I think that I know that you are a big fan of condoms, Tom. You always talk about using them. But I think the reality on the road, where the rubber meets the road, as it were, is a lot less being actually in reality used by people than you think. And the compliance is actually a lot less. And so basically, men are handing control over to the woman. And like we said, they get pregnant, and all of a sudden they become super religious. And they say, oh, I could never kill my baby or whatever. And I read this study somewhere that they were saying that if a woman is having sex and she knows that she can't get pregnant, like if she's on the pill, it's not as exciting for her. If she thinks there's a chance that she could get pregnant, like she's having it unprotected, she has a stronger orgasm.
Yes.
So nature is gearing women 100% towards getting pregnant, Tom. It's like everything. There it is. It's screaming at them. And the fact that they're 16 or 17 doesn't make any difference. And then you see the situation the second time around, where this woman that this guy was married to, she had every reason to be with him and be stable, but all she wanted was another child, and ultimately she had several children with several different guys. And, you know, there is a time when that was really looked down upon and frowned upon. That was considered disgusting. And here it's totally normal. You know, you talk to a woman and she says, oh, I got two here and two there with this one and that one, and he's in prison. The other father's dead. And it's like, are you kidding? I mean, I can't imagine a more unattractive thing. But, you know, guys are looking at the woman and they're hot to trot and they want to screw her and they're willing to overlook these things. And the only thing I can say is, I hope you had a vasectomy. I hope you had a condom, because it's like that thing. You know, remember, Tom, she's fertile, she's killed, and she'll kill again.
Yeah. Exactly right.
I mean, you don't have to speculate. Her future, you know, action is right in front of you based on what she's already been doing.
That's, you know, exactly
this
right.
Is that same kind of crazy thing where you think in the same way that women do. Guys think they're going to change her. It's different with us. It's not like that. You know, she acts different with me. She's special. Bullshit. These things are based very strongly in biology, and they're not going to change, and that's just the reality.
Wow. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to tell people how they can get in touch with you. And, of course, Adam is here every Tuesday. He's family law attorney Adam Sachs. It's free legal advice for you at 901-3000, Tom. 901-3000-866.
Tom Likas, the Internet's most listened to call-in show. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
Hey, P1s, our show and our company, The New Normal, are one big experiment. And whether we continue into the future depends on whether we can generate enough revenue to pay our guys and our various expenses. One painless way you can help to guarantee that we'll be here is to use the Amazon.com link at blowmeuptom.com or on our Facebook page. Now, we don't ask you to buy anything you don't want or need. By clicking on our Amazon link, you'll get the same low Amazon prices you always get. And Amazon will look exactly the same to you. But the New Normal gets credit every time you visit Amazon through our link. By using the Amazon link at blowmeuptom.com, you can get computers, electronics, games, clothing, just about anything, even groceries, at ridiculously low prices. And the revenue we get from Amazon helps us to keep the number of commercials to a reasonable level. Do it while you're thinking about it. Go to blowmeuptom.com or the Tom Likas Show Facebook page and click on our Amazon links to do your Amazon shopping. And pass our link along to your friends. The Amazon.com link from blowmeuptom.com.
A man and his truck. A man, his truck, and his favorite radio station. And come the ballads and the broads and the bullshit. Now that man is driving around in his truck in a storm, in the mud, looking for his balls. Over here, dummy. New Normal. Walk.
Spring is here, and that means it's time to break out the weed whacker again. But before you do, let me introduce you to the Weed Shark. Now, this bad boy is going to save you a lot of time and hassle. The Weed Shark is a universal multi-purpose trimmer head designed to meet the standards of landscaping pros. So you know you'll be in good hands. The Weed Shark is a 4-in-1 heavy-duty adapter head with replaceable cutting teeth and trimmer line for use on traditional gas-powered weed trimmers. Stop digging around with that crappy standard head that came with your trimmer. The Weed Shark uses revolutionary dual cutting action, where the trimmer line wraps around what you're cutting and pulls it toward the shark teeth, shearing everything in its path. Right now, get the Mighty Max for just $29.95. Just visit WeedSharks.com. That's WeedSharks, plural.com. Get to that cold beer faster. Get the Weed Shark at WeedSharks.com.
Hammer time.
The Tom Likas Show. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank, you hear Adam Sachs on our bonus hour every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific time, 9 p.m. Eastern time. Adam, how can people get in touch with you?
Well, you can call me toll-free at 1-800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320. Check out my website, www.adamlawyer.com, and you can send me an email, adam@adamlawyer.com.
It's that simple. And hopefully you will contact Adam. If you don't call him here, you can certainly drop him a line or call him on his cell phone. And he'll be more than happy to help you through some of these amazing situations like we hear from some of Adam's clients. Although we've heard a lot of success among Adam's clients. Once people hire Adam Sachs, they know what's going to happen. They know he's going to get the job done. Bottom line. All right, don't forget, Adam is here every Tuesday, 6 p.m. Pacific time, 9 p.m. Eastern time.
Stick it in your rack. Let them enjoy it, too. Download the Tom Likas app.
Now, 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
From the New Normal Newsroom, it's time once again for Likas 101 News for Guys. I'm Gary, he's Dino.
I love the guy, but he's a pussy.
Brought to you in part by Beer Magazine. Go to blowmeuptom.com, click on the Beer Magazine banner. Get your Likas discount for a year's subscription to the now fully digital magazine devoted to beer.
Fully digital.
Beer Magazine. It's happened again. Another female teacher getting away with banging a fucking 16-year-old student.
No.
Former Louisiana teacher this week pleaded guilty to a lesser obscenity charge after admitting she had sex with her 16-year-old student.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
It sounds like these women's be charged up and they have to get the sex.
They banged for like a whole month, August 22nd through September 27th. They were banging.
That's a hell of a run.
She's not bad looking either.
That's going to be the problem in the end.
Right? So she's hot.
We covered this before. Shelley Dufresne.
They give her this plea deal.
Yeah.
Where she just has to plead guilty to some obscenity charge and she goes into some kind of a lockup for like 90 days. It's not even a lockup. It's like a mental evaluation thing or something.
Well, the best is
she pays $100.
She has to turn around and go home to her husband and three chair rents.
Yeah, that's going
to
be a problem.
I mean, 90 days for banging the chairs?
She could pass for being a high school kid.
Yeah. It's like, if she has three kids and she looks like this, she must have woke up and goes, fuck, I'm married with three kids. I lost my childhood. Let me go have sex with the chairs.
Sure, she said that to herself.
Well, she admitted doing it.
For the second time in 2 months, a North Texas female high school teacher has been arrested and charged with having alleged sexual relationship with her student, 24-year-old Caitlin Granato.
Oh, no, she's not good. She's going to do time.
Caitlin's going to the camp.
She definitely is.
She's been charged. She's a math teacher. She was arrested in March and then charged with having a sexual relationship with a 15-year-old male sophomore again in April.
Yeah, again. She couldn't. Here's another one. Looks like she couldn't get enough. Mm-hmm. And they are trying to divide out pie. These two.
Love this story out of Delaware, Ohio. A former lawyer accused of meeting a girl online and having sex with her filed a motion with the Ohio Supreme Court to disqualify the judge for the case. This guy is nuts. He's trying to represent himself like half the time and have a lawyer the other half. He can't do it. You can't like ride the fence like that.
Mm-hmm.
But not only did he meet this girl online, right? He ends up getting her, I don't know, somewhere where a park ranger finds them. She's bound and gagged. A 14-year-old
well,
girl.
Well, he wanted to get her started early. I wonder how this goes with the folks that run the bar there. I mean, how could he be? He has to be disbarred.
I guess he was with the Department of Transportation. He lost his job. He wasn't able to post bond after this happened. He was accused, by the way, there of unwelcome advances with female coworkers and also visiting bondage websites on his work computer.
Unwanted advances, yeah. And then the anger. I'm going to tie that bitch up. I've had enough of you. You do as I say. We're watching the Rangers.
See what's going on with this Darren Sharper's case here, the former NFL player.
So, I mean, wow, our friend.
Crazy
really.
Stuff. So I guess he's accused of multiple rapes, and I guess he's pled.
Has already in done. Some of them, one of the states, he's already settled up.
So the deal is that I guess part of the situation is that he's not going to be able to drink, he can't go to nightclubs, all this other stuff. But now they're talking about putting this penile plethysmograph on him, and that's essentially he's got to like walk around with this thing around his dick, and it's going to know if he gets hard.
So it's a test to gauge arousal.
Yes, it's a test to gauge arousal.
What for?
I don't know, because he's the sex offender. They now want to like strap this thing to him, let him know. They want to know if he gets hard.
He's not even allowed to get hard. Oh, Gary.
He's not allowed to get hard. It's part of the deal.
Well, if you put this penile
plethysmograph, yes,
plethysaurus on your dick, just to watch what you're doing. I mean, this is crazy. But our friend really is dangerous, because what he's said that he has done so far is awfully terrifying.
Exactly. They want to know if he gets aroused. I guess there's two different kinds of these things, by the way, if you're wondering. One of them measures like. It kind of measures the displaced air in the tube, so if your dick gets bigger, it kind of pushes the air out. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one's like a band that goes around your cock.
Right.
It knows.
It
stretches.
It's the size of a ring. It's the size of a thing.
Yeah.
It's a ding-a-ling. Man, this is crazy to put these plethysauruses on there, man. This is the first I ever heard of this.
Yeah. Finally, a pig alert for you. This Catherine Ferrero apparently wants to be the Cuban Kim Kardashian. She just has a big ass.
Big is an understatement. She looks like the creature of the Black Lagoon.
I don't know.
That's as big as it gets.
I like big asses. You can quote me on that.
This is exceptional. This is a Cuban.
That's a mountain to climb, my friend.
Media noche.
You put a plethysmograph on me. FunnyMoreNewsForGuys.com. That's going to do it for us. I'm Gary Dino. Check out the podcast. GaryDino.com is where you find a brand new show every single Friday. It's GaryAndDino.com from the New Normal Studios in Burbank. We're back to the Tom Likas Show right after this.
We are very excited about welcoming our friends at Triangle Billiards. Hey, this is a store for you, boys. Triangle Billiards has been serving satisfied customers since 1978 with the best selection of products by the best in the business. Now we're talking the good stuff, boys. This is all the fun stuff. Pool tables, air hockey, shuffleboard, foosball, darts, custom cues, and much more. Check out their two convenient locations with friendly, experienced salespeople to serve you in both Orange and Costa Mesa. And, of course, you can visit them online at TriangleBilliards.com. That's TriangleBilliards.com. Now, for a limited time, use promo code TOM at checkout or when you place your order by phone and get a free McDermott custom two-piece cue, a $255 value when you purchase a new pool table. Act soon, and they'll throw in a free cue case worth $70. This is an amazing deal. Remember to drop my name to get those freebies at Triangle Billiards. Call them or visit today. The number is 866-941-2564. Or go to TriangleBilliards.com. Shipping is available worldwide. So call them today, 866-941-2564, or go to TriangleBilliards.com. Listen, boys, start having real fun now.
This is the new normal.
Gary.